is good to be with all of you. I am excited to be here, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to join you in being the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm also glad that Georgia, my counterpart, and our youngest daughter, Caroline, is with us today. And I recognize them. You don't know them either. You don't know me, and I look forward to getting to know all of you and getting to know you well. Let's recognize that it'll be a few Sundays before we get everything smoothed out in our service. You're educating me about how things go. So working with Jeff and Jim back there, if there's a hitch anywhere, it's on me, not them. And so I'm grateful for the chance to have such marvelous amplification, such beautiful music, and a nearly full congregation. And so I recognize it is summer, and I'm sure we all have friends and acquaintances who hopefully we can bring with us as we gather. Let me say a very special thank you to the opportunity your session has given me to come and serve with you. I have a special place in my heart for churches in between times. I went to a congregation in Richmond, Virginia that did not have an interim pastor, and so I know the value of what it means to have someone following and preceding called pastors. So I look forward to working with you in this time and discerning what God is doing with this congregation and preparing for the next called pastor here. I'm particularly grateful for this staff, for Christine and Jen and Sally and Thomas and Mike Slaughter and Ina and Verna. A great group that you've assembled as leaders, and I've just seen some of them today, but a wonderful group to provide leadership for the ministry of this congregation. And I've already engaged with them, and that's a work in progress. Always when I draw near to God's Word, I believe we need God's help, and so I like to pray a prayer for the Spirit of God to illumine what we're about to share in together. And so let us bow our heads for a prayer of illumination. Loving God, we're grateful that you are among us as we gather in your name. We're grateful that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray that what we hear would resonate in our hearts and would be our prayer, not only that we share as a congregation, but individually for this day and this week. Open our minds and hearts to hear and receive your truth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. There it is. Okay. That's very good. That's on time and everything. You're right there. Way to go, Jeff. This is God's word from Ephesians chapter 3, as you see, beginning to read at verse 14 through verse 19. This is the word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I understand that you're a praying congregation. You know what prayer is. Georgia and I have, for the years of our marriage, believed in prayer and have been involved in churches and believers and movements and ministries that have seen God do amazing things. And so just this week, I have been looking for the right prayer for us to pray as we begin together. Leaving Newell Presbyterian Church, someone gave me a book entitled 10 Prayers That Changed History. I happen to believe, and you probably do too, that prayers don't change history. God does. And so this morning I have searched particularly Paul's letters to find a prayer that seemed appropriate for us as we begin this relationship and as we begin here. And I'm grateful for the prayers that he prays that are in Philippians and the prayers that he prays as he writes to the Ephesian church. You may be enough of a student of Scripture to know that in the letter to Ephesus, Paul is not writing to one church that would gather just as we gather here. He's writing to many house churches. And so he writes, as he often does, sharing the gospel in chapter 2. You want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Go read Ephesians chapter 2. And then he explains his relationship in chapter 3. And he begins for this reason, the reason that he is the apostle and he has an abiding concern for these believers in Ephesus. This is the reason he begins this prayer. This morning, I believe there's value in unpacking some significant phrases in what we've read here. Sometimes the Word of God avails to us the good news of Jesus Christ simply said. But this morning, I hope to unpack this prayer, think about the three phrases, and then together we're going to use another slide that Jeff has tucked back there somewhere so that we can pray this prayer for ourselves. So this morning, notice that Paul is praying. No, not yet. Go back to the scripture. There you go. Notice that Paul is praying that God may strengthen you in your inner being with power through his Spirit. Heaven knows if you live long enough, you need strength in your inner being. We have lived long enough, my wife and I, that Psalm 46 has become a treasure for us. And when Martin Luther composed the great Reformation hymn, he found the word refuge, not the first word that is used in the Hebrew. God is our refuge and strength. No, not that one, but the second one that's in the refrain. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. He used that Hebrew word to compose the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Live long enough, experience tragedy, lose loved ones, face the comings and goings of life, and you and I need inner strength. And inner strength doesn't come from just doing exercises. It comes from Almighty God, who is refuge and strength. A mighty fortress is our God, Martin Luther wrote. A mighty fortress is our God, the Reformation Church sings. And so as you and I gather this day, one of the things we're praying for ourselves is that God will be a fortress for us, a refuge in strength, and that we will have this inner strength with power through his Spirit. But secondly, he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. One of the things I already appreciate about this church is your small groups. You already understand the importance of being connected in personal ways to one another. If I had not been involved in a small group in my early 20s, as we were studying the Gospel of Matthew in southern France, I was there studying for a year. There was a small group of college friends who came together, and I began to understand the meaning of the church. And so one of the ways this church is being made strong is that you are being rooted and grounded in love through your circles or through your Bible studies or through your small groups. But isn't it curious that Paul, knowing the church in Ephesus, says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith? He knew they were believers. What is he praying about? He's praying about their relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows that life can become one thing after another. He knows that some days we can forget this abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, this friendship. Undoubtedly, there's some of you who believe so strongly in the importance of relationship that you have a daily devotional, or you have scripture readings, and you turn to God's Word, and you open the scripture, and you believe God is speaking to you. And that is part of your relationship to Jesus Christ. Good for you if you're one of those people. Not the only way that we live out that relationship. But it would seem to me we live in relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. But we also live in relationship with Him by receiving Him so that He may dwell in our hearts. We don't receive Him just one time. We receive Him 10,000 times. And so on this day, you have the opportunity to come down this aisle, and there'll be two stations. You're more familiar with us in this place than I am. And you will have the opportunity to pick up a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. We call that communion by intinction. It's a Latin derivative to explain what is happening. We dip it in the chalice and we partake. What is happening is we receive Jesus Christ anew into our lives. We receive Him as Lord and Savior yet again. We receive Him that He may dwell in our hearts through faith. Undoubtedly, as you come, there may be prayers you need to pray, prayers of confession, asking His forgiveness for things you've done wrong. When Paul writes the church in Corinth in chapter 11, he explains that they must receive the body of the Lord worthily. And so they ask forgiveness. They receive an assurance of pardon. And so today we all will have opportunity to invite Christ to be our friend, our elder brother, our Lord and Savior yet again. And then we move. And I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Let's stop there. If you read your Good News Bible, you'll see it kind of runs it all together. But this New Revised Standard Version is closer to what the literal has to say. Can you not look at those words and not think about this cross? The breadth and length. There's a breadth there. And there's a length. And there's a height. And there's a depth that goes into our lives. And he's praying that we will apprehend, that we will comprehend the experience of God. And here it is again. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's not irrational. It's suprarational. And the purpose is so that you and I will be filled with the fullness of God. Read another chapter in Ephesians and you find Paul talking about spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ until all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We're talking about Christian maturity here. And he's praying that the church will be filled, individuals will be filled, men and women, boys and girls will be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I believe one of the ways that happens is we're reminded that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When we lived in Shelby, I worked with Virgil Poston, who was the custodian, and it was not unusual that sometimes he would be doing one thing and I'd be doing something else, and we'd pass each other in the hall, and he would turn around and say, "Fred, isn't God good?" Virgil grew up Pentecostal, but he worked for 40 years at Shelby Presbyterian Church, and we sort of began to win him over to Reformed Christianity. But he loved the Lord in such profound ways. And it was wonderful to have him stop me and stop us and say, isn't God good? Now, I don't know how it is that you're reminded that Jesus loves you, but I believe there are probably 10,000 ways. And this morning, as we come forward, one of the ways he intended for us to remember his love, because he was a religious genius, he took the Passover meal and turned it into an experience of his love and presence. And so, as we do this morning, remember his love for you. And remember all the ways in your life that he is showing his love for you. And so this morning we gather as a church, and we take this prayer as our prayer. And we pray that we will be made strong in our inner being through the power of the Spirit, that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith as we are being rooted and grounded in love, and that we will know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and know the love of God which surpasses all knowledge. And in this way, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's a good prayer. Let's pray it together. Join me in this prayer if you can read this. If you can't read this, then just listen. Almighty God, we pray that according to the riches of your glory, you will grant that we will be strengthened in our inner being through the Spirit. We pray that Christ will dwell in all our hearts through faith as we are being rooted and grounded in love. We also pray that each of us will have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know what is the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. We pray these things, Lord, that we may be filled with all the fullness you have for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.